Reading Matthew 1:18 through verse 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What child is this? For young Joseph, the question more accurately was, whose child is this? When he found out his fiancée Mary was pregnant with someone else's child. Imagine that. Someone else must have prematurely, premaritally, and adulterously breached her sacred virginity because he never had, as the text so clearly says. To him, then, she was suddenly just one more pregnant teenager who had betrayed him with another man and who was conceived in her was just one more child conceived in sin, both to be quietly but firmly sent away so that she would not be publicly shamed and probably killed for her crime. Because this was a capital crime in their day. But as he no doubt mulled everything over into exhaustion, the heavenly messenger patiently stood by, waiting for him to fall asleep so he could have his attention and put his soul at ease with the wonderful news of what God was working here. Because there was a divine work going on here with this young woman. This child was the divine conception of the Holy Spirit of God, a son to be named Jesus, Joshua in the Hebrew. We don't see it in our translations, but when the angel spoke to Joseph in his own language, he would not have heard Jesus, he would have heard Joshua. He is to be named Joshua. Because just as the Joshua of the Old Testament led Israel out of the wilderness of the desert and into the promised land of Canaan, this new Joshua of a new covenant would lead all his people, Jews and Gentiles, out of the wilderness of sin and into the promised land of God's heavenly kingdom. That was good news. And as Matthew was thinking about this, and he was being led along by the Holy Spirit in writing down this account for us, the words of Isaiah were ringing in his head. Prophecy was important to Matthew. You can read through his book where he often says this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. And he notes it here. As the words of Isaiah were on his mind, foretelling this work of God, as God foretold it through him 700 years before. The virgin had in fact conceived, and she would in fact give birth to a son who was and is Emmanuel, God with us. In Emmanuel, how exactly is God with us? I want to consider that this morning. God answers that for us in His Word. At His birth, Emmanuel came, God came to to be with us in the embodied expression of himself, John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In this baby, we have a word from God. In this baby, the Word of God was born to us. God's own and ultimate divine disclosure of himself did not come written out for us in a holy book. It came walking among us in a human body. It came to us not in a book, but in a person. In this baby, God came to be heard speaking with his own mouth, as the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 1:1-2, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But something has changed now. In these last days, he has spoken to us, how? By his own Son. That Christmas morning, the Word of God was born to us in bodily form. He was born to us not in a book, but in a person, a human being. God's Son took on flesh and came to live among us. God's Word took on flesh and came to live among us. At the birth of Emmanuel, God came to be with us in the embodiment of his deity. Colossians 1:15-17, 19:2-9. Who is this Emmanuel? Here's the answer. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. In other words, everything physical and everything spiritual. If it exists, it was created by him. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. In this baby, the Creator was conceived into his own creation. The giver of life took on the form of life he had given. The one holding the universe came to be held by the one that mothered him. That's astounding if you really ponder what is going on here. In this Emmanuel, the fullness of God's deity was born to us in bodily form. That's the testimony of the Scriptures. At the birth of Emmanuel, God came to be with us in the embodiment of his radiance and his nature. Hebrews 1:3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. The radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature in the core of his being. In this baby, the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature was born to us. Emmanuel was born to radiate who God is and to walk among us as the living, breathing, walking imprint of his nature. At the birth of Emmanuel, God came to be with us, embodied in the humanity that made him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Paul testifies to this in Philippians 2:6-11, speaking of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form like us, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. In this baby, Theanthropos, the God-man, was born to us. in Emmanuel, two natures miraculously, mysteriously, and magnificently merged into one being. And we can't possibly fully comprehend how that happened. But that's the testimony of God's divine word. In one being, he took on two natures. He brought his own divine nature down and he took on with it the nature of a man. He didn't just put on a fleshly body. He literally became a human being. No less human than you and I are. He came to live in his own class of existence. In Emmanuel, God became human to die for humanity. He became one of us to die for us. He became like me to die for me. And he became like you to die for you. He took on a human nature to change human nature. He came to be with us to redeem us. Emmanuel has merged humanity with divinity so that on the throne of heaven, as a divine human being, he can rule over us for our eternal well-being, being saved and joined to God in him. Those that were asking in that day, where is God? And they were asking, after 400 years of prophetic silence from God, not a single new word from heaven for four centuries. Heaven had shut its prophetic doors. After the book of Malachi, they never heard another word from God. And they were asking, where is he? Where is God? Where is the promise of his coming? Where is his Messiah? How much longer are we supposed to wait? Under Roman oppression and Roman rule and Roman law, how much longer are we to wait on this Messiah who will redeem us as a nation and return us to our previous glory? People were asking all over the nation of Israel, where is God? That Christmas morning, they got their answer. They had their answer in this Jesus, in that baby. Emmanuel, God is with us. People are asking, where is God today? People are asking in their skepticism, where is God? People are asking in their suffering, where is God? People are asking in their guilt, where is God? People are asking in the paths of hurricanes and mass murderers, where is God? Folks, the answer is in Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, in Jesus Christ, God is with us. And it's not just that he's with us in the crowd on the street. He can be with us personally at home with him. Because he testifies to this in John chapter 14, 21 and 23. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Has Jesus and God the Father made their home with you this morning? Because that is the promise of heaven, that heaven will move into your home. And you will not have to ask in your skepticism, in your suffering, in your guilt, where is God? Because Jesus' testimony to you is, Emmanuel, I am with you. in Jesus, God came to be with all of us by being with each of us that have received Him. The Apostle John testifies to this in John 1:12. To all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become themselves children of God. Children of God do not have to go looking for their daddy, because daddy never goes anywhere. In His own birth as the Son of God, He brought us new birth as children of God. And Paul says that He moves us into His own house. He brings us under His own roof. We live inside His walls, in His kingdom, in Emmanuel. This one that was born to us is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And guys, that is the message of Christmas. Emmanuel is the good news. It is the gospel of Christmas. It is what makes Christmas a holy day. Not just another season to be celebrated among other seasons. It is a holy day, because on that day, Emmanuel was born to us. That's our message. That's our message that is getting lost in this nation, in the commercialization of this sanctified holy day. Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the outcry of the church to a world separated, world of people separated from God. Emmanuel is our celebration. It means we celebrate more than the miraculous birth of a cute little baby named Jesus. Emmanuel means we celebrate the miraculous incarnation of our magnificent God to be with us in Jesus the Christ to save us from our sin. We can take away the Christmas trees, we can take away all the presents, we can take away all the nice decorations, and we still have the greatest celebration next to Easter in the fact that our God came to be with us that Christmas morning. There's nothing more that we can celebrate than that. The greatest gift ever given, as testified to in John 3:16, is that God in His love for us gave His own Son to us. And came to be with us in Him. Emmanuel is our prayer to God for our lost neighbors. Emmanuel is our prayer for a nation that is losing its way. Emmanuel is our promise from God as He says to us, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. In Jesus, as He assures us all that belong to Him, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I ask you this morning, is Emmanuel, is God with you? You know, many people have died in the same room with Jesus and died without Him. This isn't a question, guys, of geographical location. It didn't matter if somebody was in the same cave as Jesus and His family when He was born to Joseph and Mary that morning. Being in the same vicinity did not save anybody that Christmas morning. Their salvation was in this: Emmanuel in my heart. God with me in my soul by faith. Looking to Him, believing in the promise that He has given, putting my trust in the gospel that he has revealed, not in the work of a human being, but in the birth and life and death and resurrection of this divine being. Make sure that when your life is over and it comes your time to pass, and that time will come, it can come today, that you're not just dying in the same room with Jesus, but that you're dying with Emmanuel in your heart, God with you in your soul, because your soul belongs to him. That's what needs to be considered this Christmas above all things. We as his people, we celebrate it as it already being true for us. But also as his people, we witness to it to those that it's not true for. Our neighbors, our loved ones, our family, our friends. We have to find some way to remind them what this is really all about. We have to find some way to share with them the truth of Emmanuel. This Christmas, God is with us and can be with you. That's our prayer. That's our promise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Emmanuel. Thank you for sending your own Son to this world to be with us, even while we did not yet know you. You have testified to us that this is love, that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us, to give his own life as a sacrificial offering in our place, that we might be saved and know you as your children. Father, I do pray, Emmanuel, for our lost neighbors. I pray, Emmanuel, for this nation. I pray, Emmanuel, for anybody in here who does not yet know you. In this time of invitation, would you draw them to Emmanuel, so that when it comes their time to pass from this life, they don't pass just simply in the same vicinity as Jesus Christ, but they die with him in their hearts. God in their hearts. We ask this for your glory, in all the good you've shown us, in your abundance of grace that you've given us, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The altar is open.